This is the Monadnock Summer Lyceum, hosted by the Unitarian Universalist Church in Peterborough, New Hampshire, and broadcast on New Hampshire Public Radio. And in the meantime, I'm going to ask Bob the first question. Bob, put this in the context of this coming election, the national election, what that means for this country. How does it fit? What can we learn?
When we began this project, my team and I, our hope was that we could help, this was 5 years ago, our hope was that we could help put this issue, the issue of the opportunity gap, high up, and inequality, high up on the national agenda for the presidential election of 2016. And I don't say we did this, but that's what's happened. Inequality has become high on the national agenda. And forgive me, I'm about to do now what all Harvard professors are taught to do. I'm going to drop some names. I apologize for name dropping, but I've talked with most of the candidates for president this year about this problem, and they think it's a serious deal. There's one actually who's not yet contacted me. Mr. Trump has not yet contacted me, but I'm checking my email regularly because I think he may want to. And I've talked to a lot of people on the Hill in Washington too, but we've got this terribly blocked politics at the national level. And so I think I'm a little pessimistic that this election is going to produce national change. That's why I'm focusing on places like this around the country, because in states and localities across the country, and I've been all across the country, there are people all across this country in localities and states that are trying to fix this problem. This election actually does show, however, and Brexit that we've just been following this weekend shows, those of us who've been living on the affluent, well-educated side of the community have been doing ourselves no favors by ignoring the folks over there. And I think that's one lesson that I take from this year's presidential election here, from Brexit, as well as from the data that I was trying to pull together for you.
So the question comes from several people. How do we motivate people to care? What can we learn about how to move people?
Well, that's a really good question. There are several answers to that. part of it is the economics of this. The best econometric evidence is that our failure to invest in kids, poor kids, will cost the country over the lifetime of this current generation of poor kids. In present value terms, $5 trillion. That's trillion with a T. It's a lot of money. And you might ask, well, why are the rest of us going to be worse off just because these kids got left behind? And the answer is, first of all, criminal justice costs. There are going to be a lot more police and a lot more prison guards and prisons and so on if we don't worry about those kids. Secondly, and actually a bigger entry, is healthcare costs. Those kids over there are behaving in ways right now, for example, obesity and smoking, that means they're going to get sicker earlier, longer, worse than we are. So my Miriam is going to end up paying for Mary Sue's health bills if we don't help Mary Sue. And now is the time to help Mary Sue. But thirdly, and most important, goes back to the point I made about all those smart, guaranteed smart, test score smart kids over there who aren't getting to college, not because they couldn't hack it, but because of their family background. And therefore, you have to think, can we afford to throw away a third of our smartest kids now? I mean, where are we going to find the talent to work? And I don't just mean working in, universities or research shops. I mean working on the shop floor and doing the good, hard work, careful work that will be, that will earn money and earn money for the kids and earn money for the rest of us. The rest of us are going to be living in a poor society. My Miriam will be living in a poor society if we don't help Mary Sue. That's the economic argument for our worrying about Mary Sue. But I don't want to just leave it there. It's just wrong. It violates the fundamental commitment of this country. When we became a country, the first thing we said to the world was, we believe that all men are created equal. Now, of course, at that time, we meant all white men, and we for sure meant men. But that fundamental egalitarian premise, the idea that how well you do in life should depend upon you and your skills and hard work, but not on your parents, that's at the core of our existence as a country. And it can't be good for us to be ignoring that in this way that we are now.
Several people, Bob, comment and say high school is too late. People who are in the audience who teach and work. What then? Especially when you look the other end at preschool, and we're one of the few states that does so little on preschool education. Yep.
Sorry, if I in closing about the high school, I may have left you with the impression that I think high school is the answer to our problem today. That was not my point. I was trying to say that for the 20th century, the people 100 years ago, that was the right solution for them, but that's not the right solution for us. And there, I think if it were just up to me, I would say that high-quality early childhood education, and I certainly don't mean just kindergarten, and I don't even just mean pre-K, I mean from 0 to 4, high-quality early childhood education, not glorified babysitting, but professionally provided high-quality early child education is very expensive and has a very high rate of return. By that I mean it would cost us real money, cost those of us on this in the affluent parts of this state real money to be able to afford high-quality early child education for all the kids in the state. But we know the returns in terms of their long-term productivity, the lower costs of criminal justice, the lower costs of health, and the higher productivity, it would pay off remarkably well, just the way the high school did. Creating the high school was not cheap, it was expensive. The advantage of creating the high school is it's expensive and it had a high payoff. And that's true for early childhood education too, and there are increasing numbers of folks all across this state who recognize that. I'm trying to help them say the data show that.
Final question, and looking out at the audience, I think this may touch a number of us. Have you asked these questions and talked about this with an audience of kids, of high school kids or younger kids, and what, how much of it registers with them?
Well, I have talked with kids, and I talk with college kids all the time. You can learn a lot if you ask them about their lives. That's what I've learned a lot from them. Kids, in the nature of the case, they've only experienced a tiny fraction of the sweep of history, right? So these younger kids, they don't have the standard of comparison that would allow them to see that the world could be different from the world they live in. I mean, if you talk to Pete about this problem, it's not that Pete isn't smart. He is. I mean, Pete's the guy from this mill town not far from here. It's not that he's not smart, but he doesn't have the breadth of view to be able to see how his life is being constricted by these forces. And you can I talk to kids at Harvard, some of whom are from actually quite poor backgrounds, but most of whom are from affluent backgrounds, and they understand academically that they have come from a privileged background, but it's not like feeling it. And that's why in my talks around the country, I'm trying to talk to, as I am today, trying to talk to relatively well-educated, relatively affluent audiences, and trying to get you to see, first of all, to see what the problem is like and to see how we can fix the problem. So I can learn from the poor kids, but it's not them that I'm trying to address to do something. I think it's up to the rest of us.
Thank you again, Bob, for sharing your time. You have been listening to the Monadnock Summer Lyceum on New Hampshire Public Radio. The Monadnock Summer Lyceum presents a weekly series of lectures held at the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Peterborough, New Hampshire. For more information about the Lyceum, you can visit our website at www.monadnocklyceum.org.